Welcome to this portion of Focal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now we're going to focus on the recent victory in the Supreme Court related to the Bladensburg Memorial Cross. On the line with us is Jeremy Dice of First Liberty. They are a Christian group, or a group that fights for liberties, not just for Christians even, but for liberty, religious liberty, all over the country, and they were on the forefront of this particular case. Jeremy, great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so first of all, congratulations and kudos on this decision. But some on the conservative side would, might say, well, you know, was it really? Well, let's unpack it. Let's have you unpack it. And but again, I have to say, congratulations. The cross still stands. It's not going to be torn down.
It certainly does, and it's a landmark victory for religious freedom. It really is, and whatever detractors are saying probably are upset that they no longer have a tool in the arsenal that they can twist the Establishment Clause of the Constitution with now to render memorials like this Bladensburg World War I Veterans Memorial obsolete and then take a wrecking ball to it. So thankfully, that is not the case. The Supreme Court has protected religious monuments or monuments that invoke religious symbols or imagery all over the country now. And that area of the law is now just kind of settled at this point. And we're grateful that the Supreme Court has seen fit to protect what was the vision of some mothers back in 1919 to remember, as a way to remember their sons for serving in our armed forces.
Yes, and the cross was built in 1925, and we've explained this before, but I understand that initially when it was built, it was really more private-oriented land, but later when a highway was built in the 1960s through eminent domain, suddenly the cross was front and center, therefore it became much more public. And then the American Humanist Association said, tear down that cross. Look, it's in this public place where people can see it and they're offended. And, oh, this doesn't include the Jewish soldiers who served, you know, in World War I. And it doesn't include other soldiers who aren't necessarily Christians.
Yeah, there were a lot of creative arguments that were leveled against this memorial. But the Supreme Court just sifted through all of those. And in a very even-handed way, said, look, it doesn't matter. It's okay for us to have religious imagery on public property. And the reason for that is very simple. It's that we have been a religious people. We are a religious people. And so it should come as no surprise to anyone, certainly didn't come as a surprise to the founders, that we would have religious symbols on our public spaces interspersed with some of our secular ones. And so Justice Alito's opinion has said that if, in cases going forward, for cases that involve long-standing monuments like these or religious symbols of some kind, or even practices that have a history and a tradition as rooted deeply in our country, those are going to have, as he says, a strong presumption of constitutionality. Mm-hmm. That's a very big deal. And if you keep on going in the opinion, there's a whole lot more within all the other opinions out there that have said, you know, the day and age of when we can weaponize the Establishment Clause to bulldoze religious memorials just because they are religious on public property, those days are over.
Mm, praise God. What's surprising to me about this decision is that it was not 5-4, but it was 7-2.
Yeah, it was 7-2 in the broad sense and 5-4 on the critical sense, really actually 6-3 in the critical discussion there about the Lemon Test, which is a kind of a boring discussion for people who aren't lawyers and even for some of us who are. But at bottom, the Lemon Test was a court design test created in the 1970s that has led to just grave confusion and unequal and sometimes rare application. And so anytime it was applied, it was always surprising to me to see that every time the Lemon Test came out, it invalidated the structures that were being accused of violating the Constitution. And so I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that's been something that has been by design by some activists that have created this kind of a test. But today, now we have the American Legion Test, which is real simple. If it has a longstanding aspect of our history and our tradition, it's going to be having a presumption of constitutionality. And you had six justices saying that the Lemon Test itself is not good law. And that's really, really important going forward here, because what that's going to mean is not only will this Veterans Memorial be protected, not only will Veterans Memorials around the country be protected if they happen to invoke something religious with language or symbols on them, not only will monuments like the Ten Commandments monuments in Arkansas and other places that are out there, will those be protected as well, on down the list of things like, you know, In God We Trust, Honor Money, were displayed within Congress or on the walls of state buildings of any kind, discussions in public, like public speeches at high school graduation ceremonies are going to have an inclination towards being constitutional as well. And so what this does is push back against that notion that simply because it is religious and appearing on public property, it must be wrong. That's gone. That is over with. Lemon is no longer good law, really, in any context, but especially not in the context of memorials, monuments, and other longstanding practices of our country.
You know, this is a significant day then because, for example, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, we've discussed this in the past, out of Richmond, Virginia, they had given the death sentence to that particular Bladensburg Memorial Cross. So if the Supreme Court either didn't decide to hear the case or if they didn't rule the way they had, that cross would have had to come down. And so this is a real victory for religious freedom, I would think.
It is. And, you know, the American Legion deserves a lot of credit for their work. And, of course, we've put a lot of hours ourselves into the briefing and all that. But, you know, we've been working with the American Legion for about 15, 20 years now, protecting monuments that have religious imagery in them. Go back a couple years to the Mojave Desert Cross out there in the middle of the desert. That's the memorial. That it was a World War One cross as well that the judge ordered to be covered in a bag and padlocked at the bottom, eventually covered over with a plywood box as well.
Yeah, so the spiders and the spiders and the snakes and maybe an occasional hiker couldn't see it. I'm serious. It was in the middle of nowhere.
Right. No, you're exactly right. And then the La Jolla Cross as well, the Mount Soledad Memorial, that one too. And both of those ended by swapping out private land for that. And that just is not necessary anymore. What the justices say here is that the Constitution permits religious imagery to appear on public property. That's okay. And so those days are over. But, you know, again, going back to the American Legion, with help from the Veterans for Foreign Wars, the VFW, look, these war heroes have been working with us for years to preserve these monuments. And if you're listening today and you're one of those guys, one of those gals, I just want to say to you, mission accomplished. You have protected your monuments, your memorials, those ways that we remember those who served us so faithfully and preserved our freedom, that is a victory that belongs chiefly to you, but also inures to the benefit of every American across this country.
Wow. Going back to the Lemon test, you said that basically 6-3 in this particular case decided against the Lemon test going forward. Am I saying this correct? Am I paraphrasing you correctly? And
that's,
if so,
that's pretty good.
Who
yeah,
were the?
Look,
Between Kagan and Breyer. Go ahead.
Yeah, Justice Breyer was actually surprisingly in favor of it. Also, it was Justice Kagan, not a little less so, but she shows some inclination there. But you had the conservative majority that really helped out on this, of course, too. You've got Justice Alito, who wrote the majority opinion, and you also had Justices Kavanaugh and Gorsuch and Roberts that joined in here as well. Justice Thomas did, too, but he said, look, if it's bad law within the context of monuments and memorials, it must be bad law everywhere, so let's just get rid of it. You had Justice Kavanaugh saying Lemon is no longer good law, and he went through five different areas in which Lemon has been applied to show how inconsistently it's been applied, and saying that in those five areas that it is chiefly responsible for governing, it's no longer good law, so it should be abandoned. And Justice Gorsuch even added to the conversation by saying, I thought this was great, that the reasonable observer standard that they had put in place here as part of that Lemon test to say that a reasonable observer, basically knowing all the facts and circumstances of this particular monument, memorial, or what have you, would gauge whether or not it is endorsed by the government as religious speech. Well, that has always resulted in what's called the offended observer, which gives someone the right to go even and bring the lawsuit. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's ridiculous. We should not have that kind of thing. We don't offer that anywhere else in the law. Why would we do it in circumstances like this, governing historic and very precious monuments, memorials, and other longstanding practices of our country. And so he would even say they can't even bring the lawsuit. And so it was just a tour de force of some very important textualist readings of the Constitution to say, we're not going to abide by this. And the reason they're not going to abide by it is because it leads to this cleansing of religious imagery in public, which is in itself hostile towards religion. And the justices all agree on that that's not going to stand.
Okay, so just real fast in reference to the 6-3, the three would include Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Sonia Sotomayor, and who? Which one? Who's the third one?
Well, that one's kind of hard to read. Both justices, Kagan and Breyer, concurred in the judgment and in parts of the opinion itself. And so Justice Breyer, I think, leans a little heavier towards saying that Lemon is not well applied and may not be the best law. Justice Kagan is in favor of Lemon, but sees her own agreement crumbling in and of itself. So, you know, it's really just a matter of time before Lemon is completely overruled. But at the very minimum, Lemon is not good law when it comes to monuments, memorials, and other longstanding practices like it.
Excellent. Okay, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I looked at her dissent. And one of the things she said that I thought was very interesting, she actually talked about how the cross is a symbol of Christianity, of course. She said the Son of, they believe, meaning Christians, believe that the Son of God died on the cross, you know, for sinners, and believe in his resurrection. And I'm like, wow, this lady's preaching the gospel, you know, in her dissent. I mean, she's got kind of the bare outline of the gospel there, you know, without the part about the sinners and so forth. But is it possible this decision in some ways could dilute or water down the message of the cross as a religious symbol, which, of course, it is a religious symbol. It is the symbol of, you know, Christ and him crucified, right?
Yeah, no, and I don't think it will. And you're right to say that about Justice Ginsburg. In fact, in the first couple paragraphs of her opinion, I was reading that. I had to check to make sure I wasn't reading John Piper or something.
Yeah.
But it was a
Billy Graham
written... good explanation of the gospel itself. But, you know, in terms of the cross losing its significance, the court was very careful to address that. And what they basically said was that, well, of course it's a Christian symbol, but nobody needs to be afraid of that. Nobody needs to be worried about that being a Christian symbol on or a religious symbol on public property. It's okay for that to appear on public property. But instead, what they said, and I think this is a fair thing to say, certain images, certain symbols take on multiple meanings over time.
Mm.
And so it can have those multiple meanings at the same time, all the time, right? So it can have a religious meaning, but it can also serve as a secular meaning as well. And so they pointed to the way that the cross has been used through the decades. And I thought it was interesting. They pointed at some for-profit companies like Blue Cross Blue Shield and even nonprofit relief agencies like the Red Cross. Crosses are being used to symbolize their work. For the Red Cross, of course, it's a missions of mercy, and for Blue Cross Blue Shield, it's some sort of insurance product. But those are certainly not religious connotations, but they'd certainly have a different meaning over there as well, which is much more corporate-y or secular, however you want to look at that. The mere fact that someone uses the image in a religious manner doesn't negate it from public participation, and the fact that someone may ascribe a secular meaning to it does not negate it from the religious context. Right. And so I think both of those things can coexist very peacefully in a pluralistic world in which we find ourselves.
And just real fast, the International Red Cross was founded in the 19th century by a Swiss evangelical, and then he just basically used the flag of Switzerland and reversed the colors. So that's why it's... But the flag of Switzerland ultimately, in having a truncated cross... that gets back to Jesus Christ. I mean, so, you know, we pointed that out, by the way, in our book that I wrote with Dr. Kennedy, What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? I mean, the influence of Christianity is tremendous. So overall, this is a great victory. It's time to, you know, raise the glass of water and say, praise the Lord for this wonderful victory from the Supreme Court.
Well, it very much is an incredible victory. And we're committed now to making sure that this is fully implemented. I'm sure there will be lower courts that will want to modify this in some manner or call it into some question. There are certain areas like the graduation speech context that I think we need to have some clearing out, some sussing out of what it actually means within that context. And that's okay. And we're still wondering what it means in terms of nativity scenes and creches and that sort of thing. I suspect that it has a good application in those contexts, that it would protect the erection of nativity scenes at Christmas time. We're going to have to see what that looks like. And that'll take time, and that's okay. We're lawyers. We do that kind of thing. But right now, the fact that it has just absolutely destroyed the Lemon Test within most contexts, I think, is an enormous victory for all Americans. We're going to have more freedom than we've ever had in decades.
Jeremy Dice, FirstLiberty.org. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.